All right, good morning, everyone. It's an incredible source to be able to be here with all of you today, to be able to learn together today, Baruch Hashem, continue a little bit in our journey on Sefer Tehillim. So what I'd like to be able to do this morning, and Emir Hashem, kind of continue through next week as well, is combine our learning of Sefer Tehillim together with Chanukah. You know, we have the unique opportunity now. You know, the Sfas Emes brings down the incredible, the Gerer Rebbe says that some of the holiest days of the year are the years in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So you say this off the holiest days of the year, and then the holiest days are Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser, Simei Tshuva. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He said, because there is something about the frenetic pace of preparation that people engage in when preparing for Sukkot. You know, there's so much to do for the Yom Tov of Sukkot. And the concept of Hachana, the concept of preparing oneself, the concept of actively engaging in the preparatory activities to be ready for a spiritual event, sometimes the Sfas Emes says that preparation itself could be even holier than the actual event, which, if you think about it, is a really incredible idea, because often we assume preparation is like a necessary evil. But the truth is, we know this to be true even just from our day-to-day lives. I think that even if you think about in the realm of preparing for Shabbos, the act of preparing for Shabbos, if done in the right way, is such a sanctified experience. What I mean doing in the right way, I'm not giving a group of women any mussar about preparing for Shabbos. That's not my place. But what I mean is, like, if you're scrambling 15 minutes before Shabbos starts, you're right, that's not exactly the holiest of preparations. But assuming that a person begins their preparations benachos, a person begins their preparations in a state of real preparation. You know, I've mentioned this before. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that one of the things he misses most from his childhood is Shomrei Erev Shabbos. He writes that he says, in America, he said there are plenty of Shomrei Shabbos, plenty of people who are Shomrei Shabbos. They're observant, they keep Shabbos. But he says, it's hard to find people who are Shomrei Erev Shabbos. People who keep Erev Shabbos, doesn't mean people who keep Erev Shabbos. And the Rav explains so beautifully that he remembers from his youth that once Thursday night would come, there was like an atmosphere of holiness that would come, getting ready for Shabbos, preparing for the Shabbos Malkus of the Shabbos Queen. Preparation is powerful, and preparation is holy. And all of us know from life that any successful endeavor is fundamentally rooted in the amount of preparation you put in. If you prepare a lot for something, now again, it doesn't mean it always goes right, because a lot of times you can prepare for something and it still goes terribly wrong. But a lot of times in life, if you put in the requisite amount of preparation, the final product reflects that preparation. It's the same thing in the realm of spirituality, that if you prepare for spiritual events in the right way, the event itself has greater magnitude. The event itself has greater profundity and meaning. And I think a lot of times, the reason why perhaps sometimes we fail to find meaning in aspects of our Yiddishkeit is because we don't properly prepare. You know, like the Gemara says, Kala Torech be'erev Shabbos yochel b'Shabbos. If you work on Erev Shabbos, you'll eat on Shabbos. So of course, on a very simple level, what that means is, if you prepare your food on Erev Shabbos, you'll have something to eat on Shabbos. You don't prepare your food, you're going to have nothing to eat. But on a much deeper level, what Chazal were telling us is, the impact of any life event is fundamentally, there's a correlation between impact and preparation. The more you prepare, the more impactful the event is. The less you prepare, then the less impactful. I said the Gemara says, Chassidim HaRishonim, the early pious ones, would meditate for an hour before davening. What an interesting idea. Meditate for an hour before davening. What time? Because the Chassidim HaRishonim, the early pious ones, understood that if you want to have an impactful and meaningful prayer experience, you can't just roll out of bed and go daven. Person requires an element of preparation. And so the reason I'm giving you this introduction is because I think sometimes what ends up happening is that we kind of roll into Yom Tov. And when we roll into Yom Tov, we're there. It's Yom Tov, Mazel Tov, Yom Tov started. And then I'm wondering, like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to feel? What's my avoda? Because a lot of times we prepare a lot of elements, just like we might prepare for Shabbos, I might prepare the food, but I didn't necessarily prepare my soul. So a lot of times for Yom Tov also, I come into Yom Tov, but I haven't really prepared myself for the advent of these sacred days. So Chanukah, Emirat Hashem, is only a day away. Come tomorrow night, the Mirat Hashem, we're going to stand before the menorah, and we're going to kindle the first of the 8 sacred lights. And so the truth is, what I'd like to try to do today is a little bit of preparation. What is the avoda of this yomtiv? What is the essence of Hanukkah? What is the deeper message of these sacred days? How do we properly prepare? Because the truth is, I don't want to show up at the menorah tomorrow night and say, okay, it's Hanukkah, now what? Right? So what's my avoda? What should I do? No. I want to show up at the menorah tomorrow night and I want to be prepared, knowing already what it is I have to accomplish over the next 8 days. So and amazingly enough, as Hashgacha would have, see, I felt very justified because I live with perpetual guilt. Part of that is just because I'm Jewish. But in general, like that this is now our 8th class this semester, and we're still in Perek Aleph. And then I realized the Hashgacha, because as you're going to see when we get to the end of the Shir, there's an incredible timing between Chanukah and this first chapter in Tehillim. But we're going to skip the Tehillim for just a moment now, and we're going to continue our source number 2. So source number 2 is the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, that is perhaps the most well-known Gemara. There's only really one Gemara. Not a lot of passages in the Talmud that deal with Chanukah. So here the Gemara number 2 deals with Chanukah. My Chanukah. So the Gemara has a simple question. What is this Yomtiv of Chanukah? What is Chanukah? So the Gemara says, the Tan Rabban and the rabbis taught, B'chaf he b'kislev yomi de Chanukah tamni inun. 25th of Kislev comes, Chanukah lasts for 8 days. Delola misbod bahon, we don't deliver eulogies on Chanukah, we don't fast on Chanukah. Why? Shekishe nichnesu yivanam lehechal timo kalashon shevecha. When the Greeks, Syrian Greeks came into the temple, they defiled all of the oil. Of course, we know historically they didn't just defile the oil, they defiled everything. They took every item of value out of the Beis HaMikdash and ultimately went ahead and defiled all the leftover oil as well. Kishe gavra malchus beis chashmonoi v'nitzchum badku v'lo matzu ela pach echad shel shemen shahayom munach b'chav samosh l'kohen gadol. And you know the story. They defiled all of the oils when the chashmonoim, the Maccabim, defeated the Syrian Greeks. They came in, they looked for oil to be able to light the menorah, and all they found was one untainted cruse of oil. One untainted small jug that was still intact with the seal of the high priest, the seal of the Kohen Gadol. That seal, of course, testified to its ritual purity. What happened? V'lo haya ba lahad el lahadlik yom echad. Of course, we know the story. There was only enough oil to go ahead and light the menorah for one day. Benaase bonis, a miracle occurred, and as a result, the Gemara says, "Ve'liku mimenu shmone yamim." Ultimately, again, the menorah remained lit for 8 days. L'shana acheres, the next year, kavum va'asum yamim tovim b'halel voda. And the next year, the rabbis instituted a yomtiv of halel hodah, Thanksgiving. So this is the story of Chanukah. Now, the truth is, in general, when it comes to Chanukah, there are 2 really fundamental parts of the story. There's 2 miracles, right? There's, of course, the military victory, the military miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the mightiest fighting force on the face of the earth into pretty much like a small ragtag army, right? A small army of Jewish guerrilla fighters. That's what they were. That's what the Maccabim employed. They employed guerrilla warfare because they recognized that, you know, a strategy of frontal engagement, right? Like armies used to march on each other. They were outnumbered. It was ridiculous. So they had to resort to guerrilla warfare. So there's the military victory, and there's also the victory of the oil. Now we know that on Chanukah, it's really the oil that takes center stage, right? It's really the oil that gets primary airtime. The military victory is mentioned, you know, in Alanisim. So we recite it as part of davening, we recite it in benching. But the truth is, the military victory itself doesn't find any real expression in our observance of the Yomtiv. The observance of Chanukah is all about the miracle of the Pach Shemen, all about the miracle of the jug of oil. Now, this raises an interesting question, because if you take a look at number 2, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Asara nisim nasu la'avosinu be'Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles. 10 miracles which occurred inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara explains that. We don't have to go through all of them. The Gemara says, for example, sacrificial meat never putrefied. There was never a fly in the slaughter chamber, right? The Kohen Gadol never became disqualified for the Avodah on Yom Kippur as a result of a seminal emission. The grain never extinguished the fire on the outer altar. The pillar of smoke, which rose up in a straight column, was never dispersed by avoid the wind. They were always able to have the requisite barley for the Karban Omer, so on and so forth. All incredible. There were never any snakes and scorpions in Yerushalayim. And lastly, the Gemara says, for another good one, Omdim Tzifufim Mishtachavim Revachim, when they would pile into the Beis HaMikdash, they would be piled in shoulder to shoulder, but when people wanted to prostrate themselves, suddenly there was room for everyone to prostrate. And the last miracle the Mishnah records is a person never said there's not enough room in Yerushalayim. There was always enough room for everyone. So 10 miracles. The truth is, this could be a 10-part series itself, this particular Mishnah, because each of these miracles are unique and special in their own way. But what I want to draw your attention to is as follows. There are no shortage of miracles which occurred inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, so at the end of the day, right, 10 miracles, these were constant miracles. But even aside from these miracles, there were many miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you notice, by the way, how many holidays do we have, or how many forms of remembrance do we have so as to memorialize these miracles which occurred in the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is none. None, right? Remember, again, the Mishnah points out these are 10 miracles which were fixed miracles inside of the temple, not episodic miracles, not one-time miracles, but fixed, ongoing miracles inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And again, each of them dramatic and obviously miraculous in their own right, yet we don't commemorate these miracles. We don't celebrate these miracles. There's nothing in our observance to go ahead and remind ourselves of these miracles. We have a Mishnah and Pirkei Avos which tells us about them. We learn about them. We mention them, but we do not celebrate them. So why is it that when it comes to Hanukkah, we celebrate the miracle of a jug of oil which remained lit for 8 days? It should have only burned for one. It remained lit for 8. Let me ask you this. So just think about this just a moment. The miracle, right, one of the miracles that the Mishnah mentioned was they had an outer altar, right, which was the large altar that was an outdoor altar that we used for animal sacrifice. So whenever they would burn anything on the altar, this is true on the indoor altar as well, a pillar of smoke would go up, and no matter how windy it was outside, the pillar of smoke always ascended in a straight column. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that miraculous? And again, remember, that's observable to everyone. That means you saw that pillar of smoke. You were in Yerushalayim. You're outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. You saw that pillar of smoke going straight up. You look at this list. You look at this list on your own. And number two, all of these incredible miracles. These are dramatic miracles. Yet, we do not commemorate or celebrate any one of them. Yet, when it comes to Hanukkah, we have an 8-day celebration that is fully centered on a miracle of oil burning for 8 days. Now, don't get me wrong. The miracle of a little jug of oil burning for 8 days when it should have only burned for one is definitely miraculous. But as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, it is by no means the only miracle. We had many miracles. Yet this is the miracle. The miracle of the cruse of oil is the miracle that Chazal chose to embed in Jewish practice for all eternity. We will always celebrate Hanukkah. So the question is, why? And to better state a little bit differently is, the fact that we celebrate this miracle of the jug of oil, when there are so many other miracles that we don't celebrate, tells us that there must be a deeper message. There must be a deeper message. There must be something deeper embedded in this particular miracle. There must be some deeper message embedded in this miracle that Chazal wanted us to understand. And this is really incredibly important, because let's take a step back. You know, in Eretz Hashem, come tomorrow, we're going to light our menorah. So someone's going to ask you why lighting the menorah, and you're going to say to yourself, and you're going to answer, because again, God performed the miracle, a little jug of oil went ahead and burned for 8 days. And the obvious follow-up question to that is, who cares? In other words, that's great, good for you, good shkoyach, right? A little jug of oil burned for 8 days. Okay, that was 2,400 years ago. So what? So what? Meaning, and you could ask the so what on two levels. So what? Meaning, we're a people of miracles. We've got so many better miracles than that one. Like, if you want to talk about like the miracle, like Richter scale, you know, that the needle doesn't even move on that one, right? It was great. You know, a jug of oil went ahead and burned for 8 days. Okay. I mean, again, understand, don't get me wrong. I'm impressed. I want to be clear. I am impressed. But I'm not like overly impressed, because it's miraculous in the fact that oil burns all together. In other words, who says that the liquid that comes out of olives should be flammable? Why should I? So God said. God said it should be flammable. Okay, so the same God that said that the juice that, I remember, yet the juice that comes out of grapes, that's not flammable, right? The juice that comes out of apples, that's not flammable. But yet for some reason, the juice that comes out of olives, that's flammable. Okay, so the same God that said that the juice that comes out of olives is flammable said that it should remain lit for 8 days. So again, don't get me wrong. I am not minimizing God's handiwork. I think the fact that oil burns for 8 days, I'm in favor of the celebration. I want to go on record as saying I'm in favor of it. I support it. I'm happy with it. I just don't understand like what all the big deal is. Because to me, then let's make a miracle about the fact that oil burns at all. Or for that matter, let's make a holiday about the fact that the sun comes up, the sun goes down. Let's make a miracle about the fact that the planet Earth is exactly aligned where it needs to be. And if it was one little bit closer to the sun, we'd be incinerated. And one little bit further from the sun, we'd be a big ice cube. There's no end to the miracles that surround us each and every day, right? We say this in Modim, when we express our gratitude to Hashem, we say to Hashem, Va'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. Thank you, Hashem, for the miracles you give us every single day. Every day I am overwhelmed by the miracles of the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm overwhelmed to be able to be here with you, to be able to talk, to be able to have thoughts that travel from my brain, find verbal articulation through my mouth, and the synapses and everything else that has to go into that, I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm overwhelmed by the technology that allows us to be able to learn together in the midst of a pandemic. I am overwhelmed by everyday miracles, or at least I should be overwhelmed by everyday miracles. So let's be honest, in the grand scheme of the miracle barometer, right? Oil burning for 8 days doesn't seem to be all that overwhelming, right? There's so much overwhelming stuff in our history. And again, that's why I brought you down this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. If you look at the list of the 10 miracles, these miracles, in my opinion, seem greater than oil going ahead and burning for 8 days. But yet, we don't remember these miracles, and we make an entire holiday out of the miracle of the Pach Shemen, of the cruse of oil, which tells us one very simple idea, which is that there is a message to the miracle. There's a message to the miracle. That obviously Chazal, you know, again, I want to be clear. Anyone who thinks that we're celebrating the fact that oil burned for 8 days, if you think that's what Hanukkah is, that means I didn't properly prepare you for Yom Tov, right? If you go to your menorah tomorrow night and you say, oh, we're celebrating mirror oil that burned for 8 days. No. We're celebrating a message. We're celebrating a lesson. We're celebrating something much deeper. But that message is expressed in the oil burning for 8 days. So what is the message? What is the message of the miracle? So if you take a look at number three, I want to share with you an incredible Gemara. When it comes to Hanukkah, there are two fundamental primary disputes. Take a look at number three. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Mitzvah Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso. The Mitzvah of Hanukkah, interesting enough, we're not going to get into the halachic intricacies here, although they are quite fascinating. The Mitzvah of Hanukkah is on the home. This is very important, right? The Mitzvah of Hanukkah is not on the individual. The Mitzvah of Hanukkah is on the home. That's why, for example, let's say, again, you're traveling, but someone is going to be home in your house, right? Someone's going to be home. So technically speaking, the person who's home in your house could go ahead and light on your behalf, and you fulfill your obligation with that person's act of kindling. Why? Because the Mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, the Mitzvah when you kindle your menorah, it's a Mitzvah that a home has to have a menorah kindled inside of it. It's not an obligation per se on the individual. It's on the home. That's what it means. Ner ishu beso. Good. The Gemara says v'amahajin ner lecholecha bechad v'amahajin v'namahajin. So the Gemara explains over here the differences in the observance. On the most basic level, all you need to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is one candle. And by the way, it's one candle every night. That's one candle on the first night. One candle on the eighth night. All you need is one candle. Then the Gemara talks about mahajim and mahajim, which means the best way to fulfill the mitzvah. So the best way to fulfill the mitzvah, every individual lights. But then you have an interesting machlokas here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Perhaps one of the most well-known machlokas, one of the most well-known disputes when it comes to Hanukkah. What's the machlokas? Beis Shammai omrin, yom rishon madlik shmona, mikan ve'elech poches v'holech. Beis Shammai says, the way it works is, the first night of Hanukkah, you begin with 8 candles, and each subsequent night, you remove one candle. So therefore, according to Beis Shammai, in the first night of Hanukkah, you begin with 8 candles, and on the last night of Hanukkah, you have but 1 candle. Beis Hillel says, no, Mosif V'Holech. Mosif V'Holech. You add on, you start the first night with 1 candle, and you go on and add an additional candle for each and every night, ending off Hanukkah with 8 candles. 8 Neros. So I want to draw your attention to the wording over here. So Beis Shammai says, Poches V'Holech, which literally means we diminish, Poches, we diminish, and then we move forward. Diminish and move forward. So again, I start with 8, and then I diminish as I move forward. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 on the last night. Beis Hillel, Mosif V'Holech. I add on as I go. I start with 1 candle, and I add on 1 additional candle each and every night. So the Gemara then goes on to discuss their svaras. Where do they each come up with this? We're going to leave it at that. If you look now at number 4, one other interesting machlokas, another interesting debate. The Gemara says, Dibaylahu, hadlaka ose mitzvah, o hanacha ose mitzvah. Another interesting debate. When is it exactly that you fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? When do you fulfill the mitzvah of kindling your menorah? Is it at the moment that you kindle? Or is it at the moment, ultimately, again, that you place it down in its proper location? I'll give you just a practical difference between these opinions. Let's say I go ahead, right? We know that the halacha is you're supposed to light your menorah in a place where people can see it. So let's say I go ahead and I light my menorah in my basement. No windows. I light it in my basement. And then I bring it up to my living room window, which faces the street. Have I fulfilled my mitzvah or not? Well, according to the opinion that says kindling, hadlaka ose mitzvah, no, you have to light your menorah in the place where it's supposed to be stationed. And if you lit it in your basement and then brought it upstairs, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. The opinion that says hanacha ose mitzvah, it's the placement that makes the mitzvah. As long as you ultimately place it in the right location, you are good to go. So these are two of perhaps the most well-known disputes when it comes to Hanukkah. Again, let's just review quickly. So the first machlokas is the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is saying, Poches V'Holech, we diminish as we go. We begin ultimately again with 8, work our way down to 1 candle, begin the first night with 8 candles, last night 1 candle. Beis Hillel, Mosif V'Holech. Ultimately again, I add on as I go. I start with 1, and I add on an additional candle to the last night. Ultimately, again, I have 8 candles. Good, interesting. Now, before we go on, just something very important. I mentioned this before in the past, but I feel compelled to mention it again. Halacha, Jewish law, we often look at as a series of do's and don'ts, which is true. But what we forget is that halacha is also the way, Jewish law is also the way, that the rabbis teach us morality, ethics, and personalistic development. Halacha is not just a series of do's and don'ts, it's also a system of personalistic development, which means that embedded in every halacha is also a hashkafa. Embedded in every halacha is also an outlook on life. So I'm going to show you something amazing, how two dramatic halachic debates also have dramatic hashkafic or life outlook ramifications as well. If you take a look at number 5 on your sheet, so this is quoted to you from the Sefer of Nisilos, Ba'arach Hasilos. So he writes over here as follows, really an incredible, incredible outlook. This what I'm sharing with you is a little bit of a compilation from the Toldos Yitzchak, the Yismach Yisrael, a number of the great Hasidic works that are kind of combined into one comprehensive approach. So take a look at this. What I think is just a spectacularly incredible idea. Look at source number 5, paragraph Aleph. We're not going to read all of this inside, but just to give you a little bit of a flavor. It says, Bazed nechliko gamkin beishama beisilom. De beishama sovrim poches vaholech. So listen to this. So he's quoting over here really from the Toldos Yitzchak, which is Rabbi Yitzchak of Nechshis, who is one of the great, great Hasidic luminaries. So he writes as follows. Let me give you one word of backdrop to this. You know, in the Sfarmin Hasidic literature, it's understood that Hanukkah is really a part of the Yamim Noraim. Hanukkah is really part of the high holidays. Hanukkah is part of the dynamic of Tshuva as well. Right? That during Hanukkah, if you think about this, by the way, on a grand level, what is Chanukah? Chanukah is even the name itself, right? Chanukah means dedication. Because what happened on Chanukah? The Chashmonaim rededicated the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was defiled. The Beis HaMikdash was in pieces, literally physically in pieces. I mean, not the structure, but everything inside, but also spiritually. It was profoundly defiled. Jewish life was defiled. What happens on Chanukah? There was a rededication of the temple. There was a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. And the truth is, the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash was also a metaphor for the rededication of Jewish life. Because understand, you know, the Sfas HaMisdei Rebbe points out something very interesting. He says, you know, Chanukah was not made into a Yom Tov immediately. In other words, right, the Gemara says, you would have thought that after they see this miracle of the other, they say, okay, let's make a Yom Tov. But in fact, the Gemara says, L'shan Acheres, in a subsequent year. By the way, subsequent year might not even mean the following year. Subsequent year can mean a couple of years later, they made a Yom Tov. They didn't make a new Yom Tov immediately. Why? Because the Jewish people, our ranks had been so depleted by Hellenization. There was such rampant assimilation. There was such a brokenness of Jewish spirit that we had to rebuild our ranks before you would go out and make a new Yom Tov. So amazingly enough, the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash was also a rededication of the self, a rededication of Am Yisrael. So Chanukah has this incredible element of tshuva associated. This is why it's so important. We often forget these ideas. We think it's about oil burning. No one cares about oil burning. In other words, oil burning by itself is nothing to write home about. It's what the oil burning represents. It's the fact that the Chashmonaim went in, back into a Beis HaMikdash that was so defiled, that was so impure, and once again they kindled the light of holiness inside of it. Chanukah is a Yom Tov of rededication. Historically, it was a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. Contemporarily, it's a rededication of the self. As such, Chanukah has, and we'll discuss this a little bit more also next week as well, but Chanukah has many elements that are similar to the Yom Noram, to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, to Aser Yisimei Tshuva. Because what's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Yisimei Tshuva? A rededication of the self. I want a new year of life. Maybe I'm not so happy with the way I lived last year. I'd like to rededicate myself. I'd like to start again. I'd like to build myself back up. What's Chanukah? Chanukah is a rededication. Chanukah is that sometimes over the last couple of months, it hasn't been so long since Rosh Hashanah, but sometimes it's just over the last couple of months, and sometimes it's over the last couple of years, or sometimes it's over the last couple of decades, my Beis HaMikdash, my personal Beis HaMikdash, has become defiled. For a variety of different reasons. Sometimes the Beis HaMikdash becomes defiled because of bad decisions I made. Sometimes the Beis HaMikdash becomes defiled because of neglect. You know, my Beis HaMikdash kind of becomes like an overgrown garden, right? If you don't pull out the weeds and you don't go ahead and water things and you don't take care of them, it becomes overgrown and it becomes unseemly and just neglect. So sometimes my Beis HaMikdash is in a state of disrepair because of bad things I've done. I've introduced negative things into my personalistic temple. Sometimes I just neglected to take care of my Beis HaMikdash. When you neglect to take care of your Beis HaMikdash, if I neglect to take care of my body, there are obviously things that happen. If I neglect to take care of my soul, there are things that happen as well. Chanukah offers us the opportunity to rededicate ourselves. Chanukah says you can rededicate the most defiled item. Because think about this. There was nothing more defiled than the Beis HaMikdash. The Greeks had brought in pigs. They offered up pigs on the altar. They smashed the altar. They brought in idols. Every source of impurity. They engage in acts of immorality inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, every source of defilement was brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Yet the Chashmonaim came along and they said, no matter how much the defilement, we could rededicate. No matter how much the defilement, we could go ahead and try to figure this out. And we could tap into that contemporarily as well. No matter how defiled my personalistic temple has become, I have the ability to clean it out, to start again, and to rededicate. What's the Shaila? What's the question now? How? How should I do that? How do I rededicate a defiled temple? It's a good question, right? You know, you ever try to clean your garage? You ever try to clean your garage? So you say to yourself, you know what? Or your basement, wherever you accumulate I was going to say, you know, some people call it junk, other people call it precious memorabilia, right? Calling it precious memorabilia is just an excuse not to clean out your junk, right? But you ever like say, okay, you know what? Today's the day. Today's the day I'm cleaning out the garage. And what happens? You go down, you have a good breakfast, I have 3 cups of coffee, I'm ready to go, good night's sleep, I cleared the schedule, right? I'm wearing my work clothing, I'm ready to get fashmuth, good. You walk into the garage, and what do you see? You see like a pile of stuff. And then what happens? What happens? It's amazing what happens. What do you say to yourself? You know what? Actually, I realize today's not a good day to do this. You know, I realize, you know what? I just realized I forgot. I haven't called my third cousin in 4.5 years. We really should catch up with each other. I'm going to get to this later. Because human nature is such that when you see something that just looks too overwhelming, most of us just turn away. That's the way it works. You just turn away. Again, I don't like to say I turn away. Instead, suddenly I have a renewed dedication to extended mishpacha, right? So suddenly now I'm going to go through my Rolodex and call every long lost cousin, anything to avoid dealing with the towering pile of aged memorabilia that's sitting in my garage. Human nature is such that when you encounter something overwhelming, almost like the instinct is flight. Just get me out of here. It's fine with your garage, because at the end of the day, if you don't clean out your garage, life will go on. The problem is when we apply that instinct to our personalistic temple. So sometimes I look inside myself, I see my personalistic Beis HaMikdash, and it's fallen into disrepair. Sometimes, as we said before, it's fallen into disrepair because I've just neglected it. It's overgrown. It's just not repaired. The personalistic paint is peeling, right? There's weeds growing everywhere. And sometimes my personalistic temple is in a state of disrepair because I've done things I shouldn't have done. But then when I walk into myself, when I introspect, when I begin to look inward and I see the level of dysfunction, the level of disrepair, I'm just so profoundly scared off that I just want to run the other way. It's time to call my third cousin. I just can't deal with this right now. So comes along Bishan Bishil and they say, don't run. Confront. Although it's easy to run from everything. All of us know, the moment you start running, you never really stop running. Those people, right, it's amazing how much stamina people have to run from their problems, which is really incredible. Because, you know, people have so much stamina to run from their problems, but yet amazingly enough, if I would just use that same stamina to confront and to deal with my life issues, how much better off I would be in life and how much happier I'd be in life. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, their machlokas. Remember again, what was their machlokas? Let's talk about this outside. What was their machlokas? So remember again, there are two machlokas and two debates. Machlokas number one is, how do you light your menorah? So remember again, what did Beis Shammai say? Beis Shammai said, poches vaholech. Poches vaholech. Start with 8, right? And continue down to 1, right? So says the Toldos Yitzchak something absolutely amazing. What is Beis Shammai saying? If you want to go ahead and fix your personalistic temple that is in a state of disrepair, either because of neglect or because of bad decisions, the first step is poches. Poches means you have to stop doing things. It means diminish. I have to identify what are the negative activities that are holding me back. What are the things that are keeping me in place or chas v'shalom causing me to regress? What are the negative character traits? What are the negative behaviors? Who are the negative people that are simply holding me down, holding me back? What are the negative qualities that I possess that are preventing me from self-actualizing? Says Beis Shammai, you could identify that. Poches means to diminish. You have to take those things away. You have to remove those things from your life. And if you're poches, if you remove those things, then what? What's the next word? Holech. Then you could move on. Remember that phrase, poches, v'holech. So remember again, this is why I tell you, this is why I mentioned to you before, halacha always has such incredible hashkafa. On a halachic level, Beis Shammai is saying, poches v'olech. You diminish the candles as you move on in Hanukkah. On a hashkafic level, poches. Take away the things which are holding you back. And if you take away the things which are holding you back, then what? You could move forward in life. Not a problem. You can move forward. Identify the things that are holding you back inside of you, internally, externally. V'olech. Beis Hillel says, listen to this. Beis Hillel comes along and says, that's what? Mosif v'holech. What does Mosif v'holech mean? So Beis Hillel will say something absolutely amazing. Beis Hillel will say, you know what? Sometimes if you force a person to identify the things that are holding them back, I'm not going to get any real life traction. Why? Because think about this in just a moment. I look at what's holding me back, and I know what's holding me back in life. I know what it is. There are things that I do that I shouldn't be doing, but I really enjoy doing them. I really enjoy doing them. Maybe they're wrong, or maybe they're not so wrong. They're just not right for me. Same way, I know that there are people holding me back in life. I know it, but I like them. Or maybe sometimes they're even related to me. And maybe sometimes they're even closely related to me. I know they're not good for me. I know they're not good for me. I know their mere presence in my life is fundamentally and profoundly toxic. I love them, but I know that the best thing for me would really be to have nothing to do with them. But I can't change that right now. It is what it is. So it says, my soul, sometimes in life, if you force a person to be poches, to take away the things that are holding them back, a person will say, you know what, I can't do it. I just can't do that right now. It doesn't work for me. And what ends up happening? A person totally abandons any process of growth. So instead says Beis Hillel, I have a better idea. Mosif v'holech. Find a way to grow. Identify one area of growth for yourself over the days of Hanukkah. Decide what you want to work on. Not what you want to get rid of, not what you need to get rid of, but what you want to work on as a human being, as a Jew, as a person. What do you want to work on over this course of Hanukkah? Mosif, add light to your life. Add holiness to your life. Add goodness to your life. Decide what you want to add. Because Beis Hillel says sometimes it's too difficult and overwhelming to start taking stuff away. I know what I have to take away. I know what's holding me back. But for a variety of reasons, I just can't offload it now. Sometimes good reasons, sometimes not good reasons. I can't offload it. So therefore, it says Beis Hillel, okay, calm down. Mosif Olech. How can you grow? How can you grow? Identify an area of growth and push yourself forward. Push yourself forward. So this says the Todos Yitzchak. Ultimately, again, is the fundamental machlokes in Beis Hillel. Everyone agrees that Hanukkah is a time of personalistic rededication. So what's the dispute? The dispute is, how do you tap into the power of personalistic rededication? How do I clean up, and grow my personal temple? So Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel will say, Poches v'holech. Poches v'holech. You gotta identify what's holding you back, offload it, and then you'll be able to move forward. That's the first step. Beis Hillel says, Mosif v'holech. You have to go ahead. Sometimes it's too difficult to offload the stuff that's holding me back. Sometimes it's too difficult to even contend with the negativity or the things that are holding me down. Instead, focus on how you could grow. Focus on how to move yourself forward. What area of growth can you focus on? How can you make yourself better? How can you make yourself holier? How can you elevate yourself? I can't focus on the stuff right now that's negative, broken, in a state of disrepair. I want to focus on the positivity. What could I do to move myself forward? So he says, told this, that was machlokes number one. What was machlokes number two? Second dispute. Hanacha ose mitzvah or hadlaka ose mitzvah? Is it the placing down of something, of the menorah that creates the mitzvah, or the act of kindling? Interestingly enough, so the Yismach Yisrael says it's the same machlokes. Hanocha means to put something down. A lot of times in life, I'm holding on to things that I should not be holding on to. I'm holding on to character traits, to behaviors, to activities, to relationships that are not good. They're just not good. They're not going to get me where I need to go. Hanacha ose mitzvah. Sometimes in life you have to be courageous enough to figure out what you need to put down in order to be able to move yourself forward. Whereas Beis Hillel's second opinion will say no. Hadlaka ose mitzvah. It's the act of kindling. Remember when you kindle the fire, what direction does the flame go in? The flame shoots upwards. Sometimes in life, it's too difficult to be able to contend with the things that are holding you back, the things that are broken, the things that are in a state of disrepair, the toxic relationships. It's too difficult for me to examine that and to deal with that. So instead, focus on growth. How do you ignite yourself? How do you light yourself spiritually on fire? What can you do to spiritually elevate yourself? So you see what's happening over here? Isn't this absolutely incredible? The machlokes, Beis Hillel, is a fundamental life machlokes How do I tap into the ability to engage in personalistic rededication of Hanukkah? Hanukkah, which is the Yom Tov of rededication, that's what Hanukkah is all about. This is so incredibly important. Hanukkah is not about oil burning for 8 days. Oil burning for 8 days is a miracle that gets us to focus. But the message of Hanukkah is one of rededication. How do I rededicate my personalistic temple? How do I rededicate myself? And this is the machlokes, Beisham Beis Hillel. So Beisham I will say, Poches v'holeich Hanukkah oseh mitzvah. Life is all about going ahead and identify the things that are holding you back and placing them down and offloading them. Because if you don't identify and offload the things that are holding you back, you get very little traction in life. And Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel says, if you force people to confront their demons, if you force people to go ahead and identify things that are holding them back, the relationships that are holding them back, the things that are that I'm doing to hold myself back, it's overwhelming. And what's going to happen? A person's just going to end up doing nothing. So instead, what's the halacha? The halacha is mosif v'holeich, hadlaka osem mitzvah. Ignite yourself. Find something you could do to work on yourself. Identify an area that you want to grow. Identify an area that you could plow positive energy into to make yourself a better person. Uplift yourself. Ignite yourself. Kindle your soul. And by that, in that way, you can go ahead and rededicate your personalistic temple. Who's right? Who's right? Who's right? So this is fascinating. Generally, throughout the entire year, Beis Shammai is correct. Remember again, this is our tie back into Tehillim. We've been studying chapter 1, Perek Aleph in Tehillim. And what did David HaMelech talk to us in Tehillim? Remember again, you want to lead an Ashrei life. What's the first step in leading an Ashrei life? Offload the negativity. It's Sur Meira V'Yaseh Tov. That's the mantra for successful living. It's amazing. In general, throughout life, Beis Shammai is correct. Remember, what does David HaMelech say? You want to lead an Ashrei life? What do you have to do? Asher lo halach ba'atzas rishoyim, b'derech hatoyim lo omad, b'moshev leitzim lo yoshev. Remember again, the first things that King David writes about in leading an Ashrei life is not positive things. It's not following in the counsel of the wicked, not standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the company of scorners. And then afterwards, then it's learning Torah, delighting in Torah, engaging spirituality. In general, in life, the halacha is like Beis Shammai. It's Sur Meira V'Yaseh Tov. You want to lead a successful life? A successful life requires me to go ahead and identify the negative things, identify the things that are holding me back, and find the courage to offload them. Because if not, you can't get traction. Remember again, if not, it's what Chazal call Tovel v'sheres biod, like going into the mikvah and holding a dead rodent in my hand. Apologize for the imagery there, right? So going right, holding a dead rodent into my hand, and even though I could dunk 15 times, it doesn't make a difference. That tumah, that impurity is in my hand. Doesn't get me anywhere. But amazingly enough, and by the way, even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? We paskin like Beis Shammai, right? What do you have to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? What do you have to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? I have to do tshuva. And what's tshuva? Ana Hashem, chatosi, avisi, pashati, asisi kach v'kach, vidui, confession. Confession forces me to acknowledge the things that are broken, the things that are wrong, and I have to make a plan for how I'm going to deal with them. So throughout life, Beis Shammai is really correct. Throughout life, it's poches v'holech. You have to offload the negativity, identify the negativity, get rid of it, and then you can move forward. It's Hanukkah Oseh Mitzvah. Only if I put down the things that are holding me back that I have the ability to really grow. The halacha follows Beis Shammai throughout the entire year, except for 8 days. Except for 8 days. Because on Hanukkah, we paskin like Beis Hillel. On Hanukkah, we know, again, you all know this, we paskin Mosif V'Holich. We start with one candle tomorrow night, Emirat Hashem, Mishal Tov, Mitzlachos, and we end Hanukkah, Emirat Hashem, with 8 candles. We paskin Hadlaka Oseh Mitzvah. That is the act of kindling that affects the mitzvah, not the placing down. So says the Sfarim something absolutely amazing. Shem Yishmol quotes this, that even though throughout the entire year, hashkafically, I mean, we paskin like, when I say paskin like Beis Shammai, I don't mean halakhli, I mean hashkafically. Hashkafically, we hold like Beis Shammai. That again, Hanukkah Oseh Mitzvah, Poches V'Holech, Sur Meira V'Yaseh Tov. If you want to grow in life, like David HaMelech says, first step is identify, offload the negativity, things that are holding me back, then engage in positive dynamic activity, except for 8 days. On the 8 days of Hanukkah, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that the beauty of Hanukkah is personalistic rededication without the need to make the feared entry into the overrun garage, right? Because a lot of times when I look into myself and I introspect, I kind of see the garage that has years and years of accumulation. And I say when I walk into that physical garage, I just turn right around because, you know what, I just become overwhelmed. Despite the fact that I planned this day for months, right? I X'd it out on my calendar. This is garage cleanup day. Once I see it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot do this. Hanukkah gives us an incredible gift. I could focus on growth without having to focus on that which is broken. I could focus on how I can lift myself up without going ahead and having to deal with all of the accumulated stuff that has really taken over my personalistic temple over the last number of weeks, months, years, and for some of us, decades. Hanukkah says, just focus on how you're going to bring light. Just focus on how you're going to build yourself. Again, the rest of the year, I have to focus on what's broken. The rest of the year, Sur Meirav Yaseh Tov. The rest of the year, positive dynamic activity doesn't really get me anywhere unless, of course, I first find the courage to be able to go ahead and really offload the negativity. Offload the negativity. Offload the stuff that's holding back. Otherwise, I'm going to the mikvah and I'm holding the dead rodent in my hand. But for the 8 days of Hanukkah, we paskin like Beis Hillel halachically and hashkafically. Mosif v'holich. The avodah of Hanukkah is not to find what's broken inside of yourself. The avodah of Hanukkah is to identify areas of growth and to build on them. To identify for yourself, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? And how do you want to grow? And focus on that for 8 days. The introspection, the going ahead and figuring out what's broken, how to offload it, that happens before Hanukkah, that happens after Hanukkah. But on Hanukkah itself, all the Ribono Shel Olam wants of me is Mosif V'Holich. Hadlaka Ose Mitzvah. How do you want to burn bright? This is the incredible gift of Hanukkah. And the truth is, we see this expressed in kind of different ways as well. You know, there's an amazing, and first of all, before you get to that, now you begin to understand why, even though there were these incredible 10 miracles inside of the Beis HaMikdash, the truth is, miracles are only remembered for all eternity when they convey some type of message. These miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, each of them had a message, but at the end of the day, they not deemed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Chazal, to be eternal messages. The eternal message of the Pach Shemin is one of rededication. But what Hanukkah affords us is an incredible opportunity. You know what it is? This is going to sound a little bit strange, but I'm going to say it. Hanukkah is Yamim Noraim without the guilt. It's Yamim Noraim without the guilt. Because the truth is, for many of us, Yamim Noraim is really difficult. Rosh Hashanah is really difficult. And as much as I want to be optimistic, and I am optimistic, I'm an eternal optimist, I'm confident that Baruch Hu is going to give me another year of life, but there's guilt. Guilt is part of the dynamic. That's what it is. It is part of tshuva is a feeling of guilt. V'arnichamti uboshti b'masa. I'm embarrassed of what I've done. There's an element of guilt. Hanukkah is tshuva without the guilt. It's closeness without the guilt. Hanukkah does not require me to look at what's broken. Hanukkah requires me to have singular focus on how do I want to grow? What do you want to do? How do you want to grow? What light are you going to generate for yourself over the course of the next 8 days? And this becomes our dramatic avoda over these days. So it's amazing. So as much as David HaMelech outlined for us in Kapitel Aleph, a plan for Ashrei Ish, that plan works for every single day except 8 days out of the year. 8 days out of the year, Hanukkah, David HaMelech's model is suspended, and instead we adopt the model of Beis Hillel. Mosif v'hodlech, hadlaka ose mitzvah, in reality becomes an Aseh Tov and Sur Meira model. And I would just suggest that in our preparation for Hanukkah, this is what we really have to give significant amount of thought to. How do I want to grow over these 8 days? How do I want to grow? Because you know what ends up happening over Hanukkah is, you know, the first night there's an excitement. And of course, this year also, it's Erev Shabbos, Thursday night. It's so exciting. Erev Shabbos, Hanukkah. Then I go into Shabbos, Hanukkah, Sunday. But you know, as Hanukkah wears on, like most things in life that kind of go on for prolonged times, it loses a little bit of its luster and it just becomes another thing that we do. But we have a golden opportunity during these days to rededicate our personalistic temple, to rededicate our personal Beis HaMikdash. But what it requires is a plan. Like every other, like every successful endeavor in life, you need a plan. People who live life by the seat of their pants often do not get very far. But people who plan, people who think ahead, people who make a plan in life could accomplish an inordinate amount of incredible and beautiful life accomplishments, but you need a plan. So our avoda over today, tomorrow, which is Erev Chanukah, is to work on a plan. What's my Chanukah plan to burn bright? What's my Chanukah plan to affect positive change in myself? What's my Chanukah plan to rededicate my personalistic temple? This is the gift. Understand, Chanukah is a gift. You know, it's interesting, the notion of Chanukah gifts, you know, Chanukah presents. So it's just, as an aside, it happens to be an interesting thing. Obviously, there's no question that some of Chanukah gifts is certainly a carryover from Christian practice, Christmas gifts and things of the sort. Chanukah gelt is certainly something, right? Giving money on Chanukah is certainly something that is very much a part, ultimately, of Jewish tradition. It's a different story. But I've often felt like whenever you see something so embedded in Jewish practice, it's got to come from somewhere. So Chanukah gifts, first of all, again, I would tell you that, you know, some people like to say, oh, we don't give Chanukah gifts, as if it's like a statement of frumkeit not to give Chanukah gifts. So first of all, you should always give presents to people who you love. It's always great. There's nothing better in this world than giving a present to someone. So you don't want to call it a Chanukah gift. You want to call it a Thursday night gift. Call it an Erev Shabbos gift. Call it a Sunday gift. An opportunity, or call it an I love you gift. Call it I was thinking about you gift. You don't have to call it whatever you want. But the notion of giving things to people who we love as just a physical sign of demonstrative of our affection, our feeling towards them, is great. Because all of us know if you're on the receiving end of that, there's no one who doesn't love receiving a present. It's nothing to do with the dollar value of it, but just someone's thinking about me. That's so incredible, and it's so wonderful, that's so beautiful. But I've often thought like this, that perhaps the notion of presence of Chanukah comes from the fact that Chanukah in and of itself is the greatest present that the Ribono Shel Olam gave to us. Chanukah is a present. Chanukah is a gift. The gift of Chanukah is the gift of personalistic rededication. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to me, I don't care how overgrown and overrun and dilapidated your personal temple is, clean it up. Clean it up. And by the way, you don't even have to do any of the heart-wrenching or gut-wrenching stuff like identifying what's broken, what's this, what's that, what's in disrepair. Just bring light. Just kindle your inner menorah. Just kindle your inner menorah. What a gift. What a gift. The gift of personalistic rededication. The gift that says that no matter how dilapidated my personalistic temple has become, I have the ability to recreate and rededicate it. And I don't have to do the difficult, guilt-evoking things that are associated with Yamim Noraim. Instead, all I have to do is positive, dynamic, luminescent spiritual activity. That's Chanukah. Ein gift gedola mizo. Ein matana gedola mizo. There is no greater gift in the world than the gift of Chanukah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us. But again, it requires a plan. It requires a plan. How are you going to tap into this gift? Because you know, like any gift, somebody gives you a gift. You know, like when you get a gift, there's always like this, you know, you at least I think, you always like this tension, like the person gave you a gift. Do you open it now? Do you open it later? Right? I don't want to look like a chazer tearing through that stuff to go through and go see it. But yet if I just say, oh, thank you, and I don't open it and I put it on the side, person might be disappointed. I wanted you to open it. I wanted you to see it. So, you know, at some point in time, you have to open the gift. If you leave the gift on the table, the wrapping is beautiful, the bow is beautiful, the ribbon is beautiful, but the gift is meaningless if it remains contained inside the packaging. It's no different than Chanukah. Chanukah is the most incredible gift, but it's only meaningful if you rip open the packaging. And by the way, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't want you to wait until the guests leave to tear into the packaging and open it up. Tomorrow night, when we kindle that first Ner of Chanukah, we receive from the Ribono Shel Olam the great gift of rededication. And he wants me to tear it open right then and there. He doesn't want me to wait for 8 days until the company's left, and then when no one's looking, I'll tear through the packaging. No, tear it like a little kid. Just like a little kid. The best thing is to watch children open presents, especially little children. What happens? You know, you spent all that time packaging it up, and the bow is tied so nicely. And again, the gift paper, it even has their initials, it has baby pictures of them, it has all this kind of stuff. Mamishuta is color coordinated with the drapery and the outfits and this, that. It's incredible. And what happens? That little kid gets in there, he's drooling all over it, tearing it all over the place. It's in a million different pieces, scattered all over, and they just can't wait to get to the thing. And the truth is, I have to be like that kid with Chanukah. Tomorrow night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a most incredible present, the gift of personalistic rededication. And I'm going to tear that paper to shreds. I'm going to just get into that gift, and I'm going to take it as my own. I'm going to hold it in my hands. I'm going to say, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you so very much, because yes, my inner Beis HaMikdash is in a significant state of disrepair, but I'm just going to light my inner menorah. I'm going to bring someone, I'm going to do something great. But our avodah between now and tomorrow night is make a plan. Make a plan. Make a plan for your 8 days. Make a plan for what you want to do. Make not a life plan. I don't mean a life plan. You know, most of us who have spent time making life plans know generally how do life plans usually turn out. They almost never work. And they never work because then life throws me some kind of curveball. There's some type of variable that I didn't plan for. So the life plans, don't make life plans. Don't make life plans. Make 8-day plans. Make 8-day plans. Make Chanukah plans. What's your plan for personalistic growth and rededication on Yom Tov of Chanukah? And if you make that plan, and you show up in front of your menorah tomorrow night, and right before you light that first ner, you just utter a silent tefillah. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the great gift of rededication. Thank you for this most awesome of all presents. And I promise you, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to use it well. I promise you that over the next 8 days, I'm going to introduce an incredible amount of light into my life, into my Beis HaMikdash, and hopefully into the world around me as well. I'm going to take this gift of rededication and I'm going to maximize it to its fullest. May be zochem yiratz Hashem over the next day to make a plan, really to make a plan. I would urge each of us, find time. I know no one has time. No one really has time and no one has quiet time, but find time. Whether you have to wake up earlier in the morning, go to sleep later at night, or just shut down everything, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, make your 8-day plan. Decide what you're going to do every single day of Chanukah to make yourself greater and to rededicate your Beis HaMikdash. And in that zechus, hopefully in the merit of A, making a plan, B, implementing the plan, C, rededicating our personalistic temple, in the zechus of that rededication, and in the merit of all the light that our personalistic temples will generate, may be zochem yiratz Hashem that before Chanukah is over, the Ribono Shel Olam will send the Geula, will send Mashiach, and then in yiratz Hashem we will be zochet to stand in a rebuilt Yerushalayim, in a rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, with our gaze fixated on Aaron HaKohen. On Aaron HaKohen, lighting the menorah on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, Amhir Rabbi Aminu. Amen. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a Freilich in Chanukah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi Silver.
My pleasure.
Thank you,
Rabbi Silver. Thank you. Freilich in Chanukah, everyone. My pleasure. Freilich in Chanukah, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did you hear anybody? Unbelievable, no?